Hey, 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 this is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce the launch of my new podcast, Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, every Friday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on podcastone.com. It's not what you have, it's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
All right, Drew, what do we talk about in this first show?
We talk about the Bonhoeffer quote, like evil and stupid, and which is more dangerous. And guess which? Shocking.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Trying to think.
You might think it was evil.
Yeah. I used to think it was evil. Now I realize it's stupid. Well, we'll get into it. First, Tommy John, working from home. You're all sitting around and doing emails and then you're standing up. And you're getting down again, getting the kids' toys and putting water in the dog's bowl, and you're all over the place. Tommy John knows life has its ups and downs. They've improved their men's underwear, making it more resilient, two times more durable. And that's true. That's the thing. I'm a Tommy John devotee. Look, I'll show you a little leg right now, Drew.
Ooh, those are cool.
Yeah, they're kind of a
box.
Box. Yeah. I've always worn them, and I've worn them so much, I've worn a few out. I have.
I know you never take them off. You just wash them in the pool.
Well, I wash one set in the pool, one pair in the pool, and then I put the new set on. But anyway, now more durable, two times more durable. That's the good news. The stuff is great. The loungewear is great. The leggings are great. Next level comfort. It's Tommy John, right, Matt?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/ADS for 25% off your order. That's TommyJohn.com/ADS for 25% off. TommyJohn.com/ADS. See site for details.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. Hey, buddy. Thanks to our sponsors, Credible.com and TommyJohn.com as well. All right. So, Drew.
Good times.
Good times. Mm. Oh, boy. I had some thoughts today.
Oh, boy. Me too.
Okay.
You start.
Well, I started realizing that there was this indoctrination into fear.
Mm.
And I started thinking about...
Are you talking about the press indoctrinating people?
There's that. Two things. One, seems weird to be able to indoctrinate 54-year-olds, but they're being indoctrinated. Mm. I didn't, you figure once you got to 35, you couldn't join a cult.
Mm-hmm.
Cults are for 14-year-olds, mm-hmm. runaways. Mm-hmm. They're not for 54-year-old guys with college degrees. So that's an interesting concept just right there, the sort of indoctrinatability. Like most shit. I mean, look, you got to.
They were so malleable.
Yeah, if you don't start smoking by 17, you're not going to be a smoker. If you don't get into a cult by 17, you're not going to be in a cult. The idea that we have a bunch of 55-year-old new cult members is an interesting concept to me. And I'm always fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always think, especially, when I hear a politician say, look, I was against gay marriage when I was 64, now I'm 71. And I always thought, well, now he's just saying that because that's his party and he wants to get votes. That I don't think he's changed,
right,
or whatever. But right. I'm not that interested in that. I'm interested in people that really believe one way or the other. Now, the indoctrination to fear. I was thinking about kids. So people are talking about kids and is it healthy? It's not healthy to be home. These kids need schooling. They need education. They need community. They need blah, 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 blah. They are missing the most dangerous and insidious part of kids being locked down, an indoctrination into fear. Mm-hmm. They're indoctrinated. It's not you missed out on your social studies class. You missed out on your fucking algebra. That's nothing. That's nothing. You're locked. You're indoctrinated. You're locked in, and you're brought into a fear cult. And guess who runs the fear cult? The government.
So, and the press.
And the press. Mm-hmm. So now you're locked in, yep. And now you're going to be a fucking loyal subject. Forget about your subjects at school.
You're the subject.
You're the subject. To serve man, the cookbook says. This is what's going on. My daughter is locked into her fear cult, and guess who she has to turn to? She has to turn to the government. She has to turn to the governor. She has to turn to the mayor. They have to tell us when it's okay.
Slow your roll, though. You know, in my experience, when that has happened in the past, that we have overstated the risk of fill in the blank, pot, HIV, when we have overstated, there's been a marked backlash the other way and a lack of trust or listening to those fear cult leaders anymore.
Well, it may – look, it's a percentage game. There's a percentage of people – you're seeing it now.
Yeah.
There are a percentage of people that ride a motorcycle in states that don't have helmet laws and they don't wear helmets just because they're telling people they're free. There's no real – great reason to ride a motorcycle without a helmet, but they're sending a message. But that's not most. Most are in cars, not riding helmets without motorcycles. But I thought to myself, I always kind of look at everything through the lens of Department of Building and Safety, and everything you need to know about government you can learn from dealing with the Department of Building and Safety, because here's what it is. It's incremental rules in the name of safety that have no stop. There's no pumping the brakes. They never slow down.
It's like a creep. Creeps forward.
It's a creep. It's a creep. It's this one and that one. Yeah. And they add. They never remove a regulation. They add. Yeah. And everything, if they don't add, it just, they add it this way. It's like you used to use number 4 rebar. Now you use number 5 rebar. Used to be 2 foot on center. Now it's 16 inches on center. It's literally, it's like the nailing schedule used to be 12 in the field and six on the seams. Now it's 2 on the seams and 4 in the field. Like everything just gets bigger. Everything. They just keep adding stuff on. It doesn't make sense. It's way overbuilt. It's totally redundant. And you have to go to them and get more and more permission. And the fines get higher. They get sterner. They shut you down. It's more control. It's all in the name of safety.
Well, and now it's gone all the way.
Now it's all the way.
All the way in.
In the name of safety. Yeah. It's always in the name of safety. It's not in the name of, I want to rule you. It's in the name of safety. So my daughter and my son are being indoctrinated into the fucking governmental safety cult. Now, my son is not buying into it, but my daughter is.
Yeah.
And we got more... We got more pussies than rebels. I can tell you that. And the pussies are trying to snatch shame the rebels, which is pretty insidious. The insidious part of this whole thing is not the government. The government is doing what they were put here to do. Rule you.
Yeah.
Make more regulations for you. They are doing what they do. Always told you, you take beavers, you put them on the roof of the Empire State Building, they start looking for wood to build a dam.
Yeah.
Because they're doing what they do. Gavin Newsom's doing what he does. That's what he does. Garcetti, they didn't get elected not to rule. They got elected to tell you what to do. That's what they're doing. The news, fuck the news. They're just there to scare you and get more clicks. I get it. Who are you?
Why are you standing up to this? Why aren't you standing up to this?
Why don't you know what's going on? And better yet, why are you joining them in shaming others that are attempting to exercise some liberty?
But I think it's consistent with the overall shaming, canceling kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. As soon as somebody addresses something, a topic that you don't agree with or you have discomfort with or you don't understand the argument, shame.
Right.
It's the shame bell. Shame. Need that bell. Shame.
Yes. So it's a cult. It's starting early.
How did that
between getting those fucking kids free food? You know, this whole thing like, oh, we're going to extend the lunch and dinner program through the summer. Between the government feeding your kids and the government locking them down, they fucking own them. You guys better start thinking about that and stop fucking feeding into it. I walk around my house, and my daughter and I are in a constant conflict. You know, like, why aren't you washing your hands? I'm not fear-based. I'm not going down that road. That's not who I am. Well, why don't you wash your hands anyway? Just because. And it's like, because I'm not an idiot. I'm not idiot. I'm not fear-based.
Speaking of idiot, how'd that
you're going to ruin your life with your fear-based.
How'd that Bonhoeffer quote go over?
Oh, God. I fucking love that quote. I love that quote. I've been circling around the thoughts of dumb people being dangerous and also more dangerous than dangerous people because, or evil people or bad people because you cannot.
You can see them.
Well, you can. You got to find the quote. You can't just talk about the Bonhoeffer quote.
I can read it.
It's basically Drew just sent me a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which is like a, I don't know, German theologian hung by the Nazis in 1945.
Right, went to try to fight the Nazis. Stupidity is more dangerous enemy of the good than malice. One may protest against evil. It can be exposed and, if need be, prevented by use of force. Evil always carries within itself the germ of its own subversion in that it leaves behind in human beings at least a sense of unease. Against stupidity, we are defenseless. Neither protest nor the use of force accomplish anything. Reason.
Right. Pardon the pipe the pun for a second.
Okay.
This is true. You guys, in your lives, have you ever made any headway with a stupid person? The only way I ever made with stupid people is parting ways. I never made any headway. The smart people I know, lots of progression with them. The stupid people, I've never been able to graft on one piece of information to stupid people who know what they know, and they're dangerous. And they cost you fucking money.
Reasons fall on deaf ears. Facts that contradicts prejudgment simply need not be believed. In such moments, the stupid person even becomes critical. And when facts are irrefutable, they are pushed aside as inconsequential and as incidental. In all this, the stupid person, in contrast to the malicious one, is self-satisfied and being easily irritated becomes dangerous by going on the attack. For that reason, greater caution is called for when dealing with a stupid person than a malicious one. Never again will we try to persuade the stupid person for it is senseless and dangerous.
And, it is senseless and it is potentially dangerous.
But here's the deal. Here's my problem with that quote. Is that people on both sides call each other stupid.
Right.
That's the really hard part in this. Both sides look at each other and go, that's stupid.
Well, there's no – the first things first. No stupid person has ever understood they were stupid that I've ever spoken to. They have no idea. And as a matter of fact –
That's Dunning-Kruger. That's right. What that is. That's Dunning-Kruger.
The people who I respect, thinkers, guys like you or Kevin Hench or Dennis Prager, Nick Center, the guys I really like talking to really – they're much more open to the possible holes in their thinking game. They're open to the concept
of it.
You
want it. What is the statement? Right. Somebody who thinks he knows his topic but doesn't engage in discourse does not know his topic well or something. It's
right.
A quote like that.
Yeah. So it's quite the contrary. The smart people are – and in a weird way, it's kind of like physical fitness. It's like the physically fit guys actually do more physical work than the fat people who need to do more. You know, I mean, it's a negative cycle. It's a positive cycle. But we all know the guy who's in amazing shape and that guy works out quite a bit harder every day. Now, that's the reason he's in amazing shape. But we also then know the out of shape, overweight person doesn't give it much whatever. And it's kind of – they have kind of the same relationship with that. The one person who does need it is not engaging in it. And the person that's, you know, got a pretty good genetic hand dealt to them and already, you know, doesn't have an issue with food is working harder at it. Interesting. But yes, stupid is really – stupid means no change. Stupid means easily agitated or angry. Stupid, it's funny. We used to think, you know, stupid meant sort of nice. Stupid doesn't mean nice. The stupid people I've met aren't nice people. The folks that are smarter, more evolved, and frankly, more successful are by far the nicer people. As a matter of fact, it's hard to get along if you're not nice. You know, if you're stupid and you're angry or you're whatever and people don't want to work with you or be around you, there's a reason why these people have gotten along and are more successful in life. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, running a roofing supply business. I'm talking about any business where I have to, you know, interact with other people, Hollywood, that sort of thing. So it's interesting. But
Have people push back on this when you brought it up?
No. Well, nobody thinks they're stupid. That's the problem. They don't know you're talking about them. That's the problem. There's also an interesting thing. This is not quite this, but I've brought this up as an example for, but it's very true. If you are going to do a corporate gig in front of the California Bar Association and you do 10 minutes on what leeches and pariahs lawyers are, they'll be laughing their asses off. They never really think you're not talking about them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Even though they're all lawyers,
right,
and you're making jokes about pariah lawyers, that's not this guy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
right.
Nobody – you take some of the – look, you take people who are D-minus students and who could not produce a scintilla of evidence to present to you that they were smart. You know what I mean? Like in our world, you want a college degree or an advanced degree or some sort of certificate of completion or just some book that's been authored or some papers that have been studied or you need to produce something to tell me you're smart.
Right.
There are people who have never produced a thing that would be an example that they were intelligent and they still think they're smart.
Dunning-Kruger.
Is that what that is?
That's what that is.
What is the definition?
Dunning-Kruger is essentially you don't know what you don't know. You don't understand what your level of knowledge is. I'm going to look it up for you, by the way. Do you mind if I look it up?
No, but it's also nice. You know, you can get to things. And by the way, when you're in your simpatico mind meld thing, you can get to truths. You have to be open to it.
Here's the basics. Oh, there it is. Cognitive bias in which people with low ability at a task overestimate their ability. That's it. That's at its core, that's it.
So here's how it works.
It's elusive superiority also.
Let me explain how life works through roofing, through my metaphor of roofing, Drew. First off, you can learn everything through building.
Clearly.
Let me tell you about Credible first, and then I'll tell you about this. I just had this exchange. Credible.com, online marketplace, gets you pre-qualified for student loan refinancing rates from up to 9 different lenders. So if you've got student loan debt, you could benefit with a lower rate. You can save on interest, lower your monthly payment, or maybe both. With a shorter loan term, you get debt-free faster. Consolidate your student loan bills. Do it in one place. See actual pre-qualified rates from up to 9 lenders, not estimates. Only takes a few minutes. Doesn't impact your credit. They never sell your data. You won't get spam or phone calls from dozens of lenders. You can consolidate those loans. You can lower the percentage, and you can save money at Credible.com, right, Matt?
Please visit Credible.com/AdamDrew. That's CREDIBLE.com/ADAMDREW. And when you refinance your student loans using this link, they'll give you a $200 gift card. Fill in a couple of pieces of info. Check what rates you're eligible for. Again, that's Credible.com/AdamDrew.
Drew, show me a graph.
So look at how that works. So people of low competence, when they start learning something, their confidence in what they're learning goes way up. It's called the mound of stupidity. Is that what it's called? And then after they start really looking at the topic, they realize they don't know much. And so they fall into what's called the Valley of Despair.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes a much longer time before they restore confidence in their understanding of what the topic is.
Yeah.
That's how people learn.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Complex topics and complex tasks.
Well, you know, it's not – I don't think it's just that. Like the first time I got into a car, the first time I went to driving school, like – high-performance driving school. Mm-hmm. All right, Drew, I'm going to need you to put your phone down now.
Go ahead.
I was like immediately good. I was immediately good. And then came this point where – and I was like, oh, man, I'm good at this fast. And then it sort of turned out the next 5% I got better took 10 years. You know, like it just right. – it was like creeping after that. But I thought, hey, if you're this good after 5 weeks, imagine yourself in 5 years, and it just all the learning comes at the very beginning.
I would argue that's a physical skill.
Yes, it is.
Right, true. As opposed to a knowledge-based skill.
Yeah, no, it's different. But I'm saying stuff works that way as well.
Yep.
Like if you're doing something again, just learning to drive a car, all this you go from nothing to knowing 90% of what you know in the first 2 weeks, and then the rest is really incremental.
That's right.
Roofing. All right. Using your brain. I have a metal roof on my house. I looked up. I noticed there was a spot where it was leaking the other week or the other whatever. I said, metal roofs, long sheet metal, overlapping, crimped on things. And you've seen them. They've got the spines in them. And, you know, anyway. So I sent my boy Peter up on the roof. I said, go look up there. See if you can see if there's a gap or where it's getting in. Is it where the roof meets the fascia and blah, blah, blah. He then came down with a series of pictures. He showed me a picture of what was above Natalia's roof. And that had the same roof, but it clearly, where the fascia met the roof, had some rubberized caulking, whatever, spread over it. And then he went over to the other side of the roof. It's a pretty new roof. It's, I don't know, 5-7 years old. He went to the other side, and there was no caulking, and that's where it was leaking.
Hmm.
He came down, and he said, why would the roofer who put the roof on caulk up this one seam or these two seams over the kids' room and not do it on the other seam over the living room? And I said, well, they wouldn't. If you're doing a roof, you're doing a roof. You don't do a roof where you caulk up one seam and don't do the other seam. That somebody tried to repair, even though it's a newish roof, it probably failed there over the kids' room. And so somebody was told, go up there with some patch and patch it. They did. Then this one failed 2 years later for the same reason. It was just positioned a different direction, probably didn't get hit quite as hard. There was a flaw in the design of it. It was doomed to fail. So the company that installed the roof didn't do that. The company that installed the roof did it with a sort of a failed system, a chink in their armor, if you will, and someone was dispatched to repair it. The other side hadn't been leaking yet, so they weren't dispatched to do that. If they were smart, they probably just would have done the whole place because the same rules applied, but that's the way people work. It's leaking over here. Go fix it. So that was done after the roof was installed. And he looked at me and he went, yeah, that's right. That makes sense.
What happened.
That's what happened. Yeah, because why would a roofer? No roofing. There's no roofing company that would go, we're going to do this roofing system and then use spackle on this part of it, but not on that part of it. It wouldn't happen that way.
Improbable.
And he looked at me because he's a super bright guy and he went, that makes sense. That's how they did it. He had no, I'm going to stick to my story, or I don't know. That spackle seemed pretty old to me. Like most people do, they do another lap. They go, that spackle looks like it could have been original or whatever. They just do it. They don't know what they're doing. They don't realize that they're defending stupidity. And if you want to learn something, you learn it. By the way, I say it out loud to him so that he can say, I'm wide open. If he's got other ideas as to why this thing was done this way, I'd love to hear them. That's how you figure things out.
It's also called Occam's razor,
mm-hmm.
which is the most parsimonious solution is probably the accurate one, meaning the one that's most efficient, the most easily explains everything. He could go, well, I've worked with a guy and he only did part of his job and he would run off the job on the roof before he finished it and the guy didn't know it. And so he probably did just two of the seams. And now you're adding and adding and adding,
right.
Adding narratives and story, which is why narratives are terrible.
Yes.
They're infinitely, you can go any direction. And
right.
Each direction you go makes it less and less close to the truth, less and less probable.
Right. So, kids getting scared. Also,
and also by kids having depression and anxiety disorders. I'm really worried about that. They are fucking with kids' mental health.
Oh God, it's now. It's so on. But also, I really realize how doing problem solving with your hands and with your mind is just this constant workout exercise in logic. So the fear-based lifestyle meets no logic means it's coming for me. Like it's there. The more and more I really think about the sort of exercising of the logic that takes place on a daily basis when you're engaged in a project. Like every single day I go to that other shop, there's some guy in the back who's putting metal together and he's showing me brackets and things and he's going, how do you want to do this? How do you want to do this?
And it's problem solving.
Right.
Problem I go solving. Geometric problem solving.
Yeah, I go, all right, well let's mount it with like a stainless through bolt, and then he'll go like with a button head on it and an Allen. I'll go, yeah, an Allen button head. That'll be clean. But then we have to nylon washer, nylon nut on the inside so it doesn't come loose, and then we'll put a little thin double stick on it so it's the metal isn't just on the metal, scraping the paint off. And he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Right. I know exactly what he's talking about. We're both picturing. I'm seeing it in 3D in my head. Mm-hmm. He's doing the exact same thing, and we walk away engaged in this problem. There's problems. There's things that you get deeply into prepping, building, or restoring a race car. It's just problem, fix, problem, fix. That's all it is.
Yeah. And I did a podcast with Megan Dom, your heroine. She finally goes, what's the problem with everything? What is the ultimate problem? And I went, other than adverse childhood experiences and childhood trauma and all the stuff you and I have been talking about for 30 years, lack of critical reasoning.
Yeah.
The inability to reason carefully and critically is really we're deficient.
I don't like to talk about home improvement stuff.
No.
Maybe this one time.
If it includes roofing.
I just no, I have a sink. It's kind of an interesting it's an interesting metaphor for life I was thinking of, which is
bathroom sinks.
No. No, the interesting metaphor for life is I live in a deluxe house with a deluxe kitchen, which has two sinks, except for one of the sinks is like busted and it's causing me a lot of grief.
Mm-mm.
And the point is this. You may go, oh, that's cool. You have a house with two sinks in the kitchen. Right. But now I've doubled the opportunity for grief, and the one that's not working is a fucking pain in the ass. It's vexing. I've spent a lot of money on it. Ozzy's been underneath the thing trying to fix it for 2 days. He hasn't gotten anywhere. Eventually, I took the whole thing. I took the whole apparatus out. I took it to Sean over at the shop. I said, Sean, but here's what I'm saying. The process. Took the whole thing out. Where it comes out of the wall, it's called an angle stop. And I said to my guy, Peter, yesterday, I said, turn that on, put a bucket on it, just turn on. I want to see water coming out of that. And he's like, I think water comes out of it. I go, oh, I need to make sure it's not that.
That's science.
It's not that.
Yeah.
He goes, okay, turns it on, water comes flying out. I say, okay, stop it. Good. There's the water supply. Take the whole system to Sean. I go, Sean, it's this thing with a bunch of hoses hanging out about. Sean, get some compressed air on that thing. See if these hoses are clogged. Test them all. tests them all, calls me yesterday, goes, they're slow, I'm not sure. I'm going to hook it up to the angle stop at the shop. I'm literally going to hook it up and try it and see what comes out. Hooks it up, tries it, comes out. It comes out slowly. I go, okay, so there's something in there. It's clogged up. Can we get the valve apart? I can get it apart, but I can't get it all the way apart. Can we take a snake, some wire, and push it through? Is there something? It's not the hoses. I took all the hoses out. The hoses are clean. It's something in the valve. I said, okay, can we access that valve? No, we can't get to the valve. I said, you know what I said? I said, Sean, if you said you can't get to the valve, then you can't get to the valve. You can get to anything on any part or make anything. If you're telling me you can't get to it, you live in a 10,000 square feet of tools and you're an expert mechanic. If you tell me no, no. So then I said to him, all right, Sean, where do we find we need a new one? And he goes, they're expensive. And I go, yeah, but that's where we're at. I'm not going to throw any more money hooking stuff up, trying to blow out hoses. Where I did everything I had to do. Now I need a new unit. Where's the unit? He says, well, I saw one on eBay. It's, you know, these things are $1,000. He said, I saw one on eBay for $599. I said, good. What's the finish? He said, nickel. It says nickel. I said, well, okay, ours is brushed chrome or brushed aluminum. It's not the same finish. It's not going to match the other unit. He goes, that's right. I said, okay, we can't use that one. We have to go get on the phone with Pacific Sales and find an order one because that's where we're at now. We weren't there 3 days ago. Sadly, I had to spend $200 just to get to that place, but that's where we're at.
Yeah.
But it's just a process. You just go right through it. That's how life works.
Medicine is very similar.
Right.
You got a lot of very similar. Just check. Let's go through the workup. It's called a workup.
All right. So, Drew, next show, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I got a whole ton of stuff.
Show.
You'd wanted to speak about Patton Oswalt's wife, right? And I got a bunch of stuff there I could tell you about that. I want to talk about hydroxychloroquine. I want to talk about the press practicing medicine. It's driving me mad.
Mm-hmm.
And Garagos and bike lanes.
All right. So you can pre-order my book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, at Amazon.com, and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. I did a stand-up show there the other night, youtube.com/Adam Carolla. I did a 45-minute free stand-up set from my living room based on Adam Carolla's Unprepared. So people on the internet just gave us suggestions, and we did it.
Cool.
Stand-up coming up. I am going to get out. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all our dates. What do you got, Drew?
Go to DrDrew.com for all the pods and streams. We're streaming every day. Join us. Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, wherever you are.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.